What would entice you to stay longer in a shop and possibly buy more? Well, obviously, that depends on how attractive you find what the shop is selling. After that, perhaps the duration of your stay has to do with the way the goods are displayed and the shop's interior design. But beyond what you can see, beyond the way the place excites your sense of vision, how can the shopkeeper engage with your other senses, what you hear or even what you smell? Well, that question has led our next designer to develop an innovative approach to branding businesses through sound and sense. Simon Forfield, CEO of the Singapore company Equal Strategy, designs customer experiences for shops, hotels, supermarkets, airports, or any business you can imagine, and his tools are music and fragrance. He joins us now on the line from Singapore. Simon, welcome.
G'day. Good afternoon, Alan.
Hi. Now, let's begin with how what we hear can influence what we buy. I understand you were an interior designer and an occasional DJ when you moved from Britain to Singapore 15 years ago to work for a telephone messaging company. Now, anyone who's ever been put on hold and had to endure 10 minutes of monotonous automated music knows how infuriating that experience can be. So what does a telephone messaging company do, and what did you learn from working for one?
Well, basically, it's taking an approach where if you make that time spent on hold more enjoyable, more engaging, and more of a pleasure as opposed to a chore, people will actually spend more time waiting on hold, and you can use that as an opportunity to educate and inform callers about that particular company's unique policies. And really that sort of kind of brought me into the whole scientific aspect of influencing people's behaviour through what they hear.
The term elevator music conjures up the idea of something very bland. I don't think they play music in elevators anymore. I'm not sure why they ever did. But they certainly do in supermarkets. It's normally quite upbeat and cheerful. Can music like this influence our desire to shop?
Definitely. Music influences our behaviour on a subconscious level. And two of the different aspects to be looking at is the tempo of the music. Because if you play fast tempo music, people will move more quickly, opposed to if you're using slow or down tempo music, where people actually slow down. And if they're in an environment that has down tempo music, they will be more relaxed. And if they're walking around the shop, they will be more inquisitive, more impulsive. And what the research has found is that in the supermarket, if you play down tempo music, sales can increase up to 38% compared to using no music or high-tempo music.
That's very interesting. Now, suppose I were to open a hotel and I ask you what type of music I should be playing in the lobby. What would your approach to that question be?
Well, I think it's a multifaceted aspect of hospitality and customer environment. So we would be looking at, firstly, the brand of the operator, because obviously different types of brands cater to different tiers of market, and they have different concepts and different identities that they're trying to portray. So if you had a property that was catering for the high end of society and very classic, then you wouldn't be playing pop music in there. You'd need to be using music that was conducive with that type of identity. So classical music would work there possibly. So we look at the brand, we look at the design of the space, we look at the sort of mood they want to create, how they want people to be. So again, it comes back to the behavioral part of music, where if you want people to relax, don't play high-tempo music. You should be playing low-tempo music. If it's an environment you want people to move around more quickly, then be using high-tempo music.
I once went to a hotel, and I think I was in the bar. It was a very quiet bar, and they were playing music. And the music was the waltz, I now realise, the waltz from Stephen Sondheim's musical A Little Night Music, which is very edgy, very nervy music. I found it a very unsettling experience just sitting there with a drink.
that's using inappropriate music, isn't it? So again, it, you know, a lot of operators do put music in without thinking of the consequences of the effect it has on people.
On ABC Radio National, I'm Alan Saunders, and you're with By Design, and I'm talking to Simon Fourfield, CEO of the Singapore company Equal Strategy, about the use of fragrance and music in branding. Simon, when did you get the idea of combining scent with music to create a consumer experience?
It was about 5 years ago. I met a gentleman by the name of Martin Lindstrom, who had written and launched a book all about sensory branding and branding being multi-sensory. So I met him at an event he was running, and I primarily went there to listen to his views on music and how that tied in with branding. And he started to talk about the sense of smell and how it was the only sense directly connected to the brain center for memory and emotions, and how you can stimulate people's behavior in a similar way to music based upon what people smell. And I left there fascinated, going, wow, that's amazing. So I went and did some research, and part of the research I found, some of the scientific papers, was that if you actually align the arousal qualities of the fragrance with that of the music, then the two actually work more powerfully together.
And are these the sort of aromas that I'd recognise from a perfume counter, or are they specific? I mean, are they things like, if you're selling bread, for example, do you have bakery smells around the shop?
Well, I think that's where the industry used to be about 10 to 20 years ago. They're very focused on using food smells to influence behaviour from a food craving perspective. What's actually happened over the last probably 8 to 5 years has been the big trend that people want to have scents which are reflective of their brand and are unique to their brand. So there we actually work with a big fragrance house who is actually responsible for creating perfumes like Anna Sui, Escada, Dunhill, Paris Hilton, Gucci. And we've got access with their perfumers, so we can develop fragrances that have blends of up to 45 very special ingredients. And this way we can create a scent that is very attractive, very subtle, it can be very sophisticated, but it smells, you know, far better than having something very simple like vanilla or bread.
Whether it's a hotel or a shop, once you've decided on an appropriate fragrance for that business, how do you actually get it airborne? I presume customers aren't being sprayed with perfume as they enter the shop.
Well, I mean, if you do see shops still having people standing around spraying scent into the air manually, so that's very much one of the older-fashioned ways of doing it. Also, you come across people with the aromatherapy burners, which are in the corner, so you've got a naked flame. They have to keep topping it up every hour. So those are dangerous. You know, you've got a fire hazard. They're labor-intensive. So we've partnered a technology company who's actually developed a system where we can take a liquid scent and we can vaporize it at a constant rate all day long. And when that's actually connected to the air conditioning system, you find that the scent and the air, which both blow at an even rate, allow you to create a scent level in the target space that is consistent all day long, every day.
Well, Simon Fourfield from Equal Strategy, thank you very much for giving us a whiff of some very interesting thinking.
Lovely, thank you very much.